Both Maddie and Riley Pollock have been all over the place.
How about Rails?
Rails is rocking it,
killing it.
He's been a horse, I'd say.
It's a dangerous nickname, ace in the hole.
He's been very helpful as well. You guys have been killing it. One-on-ones all over the place. Tell me about this is your first Grey Cup week without the Stampeders being involved.
Yes, because it's my second Grey Cup week.
Well, if it was your fourth, to be fair, it'd still be the same case.
Yeah, I probably should have gone to Toronto a couple years ago, but that's out of the question. It's been fun. It's been good.
Yeah,
it hasn't.
Can't afford that.
Like, obviously, with the Stampeders not being in it, it's a little bit different. You know, having a relationship with a lot of the players really helped last year with a lot of those one-on-ones and media day and that type of thing. So it's a little bit different for sure, but still enjoying it, still working hard, love getting around, love seeing all the people, all the media members from across the country getting together is always fun to kind of get some different perspectives, meet some new people, and put some faces to a lot of the names that, you know, we see on Twitter and that type of thing. So it's been fun.
We'll get to the real story of Grey Cup week in a moment, but Pat first does have some football questions.
Some football-related questions.
What's the real story of Grey Cup week?
Well, we used to have Ian Busby on every week for Grey Cup week, and essentially we would hope we could wake him up in the 9 o'clock hour to get him on and talk about how bloody hungover he was and where the party was happening the night before.
So how are you
dealing? Which is the real man's story.
Matty's a morning man now.
This is not an easy fight to fight.
I know. So
how are you doing? Both ends.
Yesterday was a little rough. Following the media event at the Rose and Crown Wednesday night. That was a lot of fun, though.
Couple of commercials playing at the same times as songs and that type of thing.
Yeah, on Old Jack. You know, we're playing what we want, so we do whatever anyway.
Sure, yeah. We wanted to play two ads at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. So it's exactly like that. And then yesterday after the awards, I kept it pretty chill, just because, like I said, yesterday morning was a little bit rough and I didn't want to do that again.
It's a full week. You don't want to unload the holster all on one.
It's a big one.
Oh. Well, you don't got to wake up tomorrow.
Exactly.
At least. We want them to wake up.
What's tomorrow like media-wise?
Walkthrough days. So tomorrow the guys will be doing their walkthroughs. We'll get the depth charts earlier on in the day. I think I'm going to be at McMahon like in the afternoon.
That works well.
But I got to check my schedule here.
My sked? You got your binder out. That's a snazzy binder.
Oh, man. I got notes from each game that the Ticats played against the Bombers, which
really?
There were two. And there's also a media schedule somewhere in here. But here it is.
Where's Matty Rose tomorrow?
Where is Matty Rose? I need an assistant.
Yes, you do.
Tell you about that for next
year. Yeah, I feel like we got the budget for it. That'll be awesome.
I found your assistant at the commercial hotel in Edmonton.
Turns out your assistant is you, so go ahead.
West Division walkthrough at 10:30, and then the East Division walkthrough is at 12:30. So, yeah, we don't mind. We don't mind that.
I'll be getting my West Division work done today.
Might be Riley's job.
There you go. There's delegating. That's what a good leader does.
Well, I hear Riley's at a concert tonight, and he's working tomorrow. Tomorrow morning, he told me that he's going to be hungover tomorrow for the Flames game. He's already
good. Good.
Good planning.
Give us the feel of both teams around the Ticats. You've been around the Bombers. What's your feel?
You know what? I'll start with Hamilton. Yesterday, they obviously cleaned up at the awards. They won four of the big ones, Coach of the Year, Offensive Lineman, MOP, and Special Teamer of the Year. And the Hamilton Tigercats had their entire team at the awards. And Orlando Steinhardt talked about that today and said that was something that he wanted. He made sure he told his team he wanted everybody to be there so that they could support each other. And it's a little bit different than what we've seen in years past. Winnipeg had plenty of guys there too, but it certainly wasn't their entire team.
Right.
But it also shows what Hamilton's kind of about. And talking to Garrett Davis, a former Stamp who is now with Hamilton, obviously, he talked about the change in family was seamless. He really talked about how this locker room in Calgary last year was extremely tight-knit, and you need that to win in this league. And he said it's very similar out in Hamilton. So the fact that all the players were there just kind of reinforced that for me. It's obviously different than what the Stamps did last year when they won, with Bo Levi Mitchell winning the MOP and telling all of his teammates to stay home and study. So it's different in that sense. But there's a certain amount of character with this Hamilton team that you'll like to see. And then with Winnipeg, you know, they're feeling more like the underdog in this one. Granted, you look at the two rosters side by side, and for the most part, You would probably say that Hamilton is got the edge in pretty much every category, save for starting running back, where Andrew Harris is the most dominant in this league. So Winnipeg's looking at this as an underdog, and sometimes that's a good mentality to have. They're also very desperate because there's a lot of guys there who, you know, have been in Winnipeg for a while, or maybe you're Andrew Harris or you're Nick Dembski and you're from Winnipeg, and you want to bring a title back to Winnipeg after not winning anything there for an extremely long time. Yeah.
Both Andrew Harris and Nick Dembski are Oak Park grads. And,
yes.
That place has busted out all kinds of CFL players in Winnipeg. And you know, for Andrew Harris, that's the interesting, and I know that you've heard him talk a couple of times this week. He gets to Winnipeg. They haven't missed the playoffs since he's gotten there. He did not like the way he left BC, and he wanted to join his hometown team but also wanted to be a part of something, and now here they are in a Grey Cup. He hasn't been to a Grey Cup since 2011. It's been 8 years since Andrew Harris has had an opportunity. He's won one, so at least there's that, but you don't know when you're going to get back, and the Bombers haven't won one since 1990. Like, I think that maybe the most motivated guy on the field come Sunday might be Andrew Harris. And I think he still feels like there's something to prove after the steroid allegations and the drug abuse, the drug policy violation, rather, that happened with Andrew Harris earlier this year. I think that he's going to be as motivated as any player, probably more motivated than any player come Sunday.
Yeah, and that's been a little bit of a black cloud kind of hanging over the league this weekend for sure, between, you know, the awards and all-star votes and all that type of stuff. But apart from it, yes, he's going to be very motivated. He's going to be very motivated to bring it back to Winnipeg. But I would say there's two guys on that team who are extremely motivated. Andrew Harris may be number one, and very close behind him would be Adam Big Hill. So I was talking to Travis Lule a little bit earlier today, who, of course, was teammates with Andrew and with Adam in 2011 when they won the Grey Cup. So I think that he talked about the guys enjoying this moment, and obviously he had been there with them as teammates before, but Travis really laid home that the guys are appreciating this moment to an extent that he did not see in 2011. And that was a year where Big Hill was mostly a special teamer. Andrew Harris was just kind of getting into the league. He ended up being the most outstanding Canadian in the Grey Cup. He won that award. But, yeah, I think there's going to be a ton of motivation there. They've obviously, you know, between O'Shea and Harris, they haven't talked about the allegations, the PEDs. Whenever it's come up, they've kind of deflected away, as you expect. Like I said, it's been unfortunate that that's been a main topic, talking point as we've gone through this weekend. But, hey, that's where we are. Andrew's going to be playing in this game for sure, and he's going to be hella motivated. But he's facing an extremely tough front seven for Hamilton.
No doubt. With Matty Rose, Grey Cup week report from Matty Rose. Tell us about the awards last night.
They were good. They were fun. Had a really good chat with Nate Hawley, who I think we're going to play in just a moment here. Obviously, he was the winner of the Most Outstanding Rookie Award. He was also the Stamps nominee for the Most Outstanding Special Teamer. So a special night for Nate. He's the type of guy who's told us about some personal goals that he laid out at the beginning of the year, and top defensive player, winning a Grey Cup, those were all up there, but Most Outstanding Rookie was also up there. And he got to cross that one off his list, which I think for him was very big. Apart from that, you know, like I said, there was a lot of Ticats there. They were very well spoken. Everyone seemed to have a pretty good time.
Any surprises for you?
I
wasn't sure how Most Outstanding Defensive Player was going to go. I know that Willie got it, and he was extremely deserving. That was the one when I was voting that I had the most difficulty on, with Simone Lawrence and Willie Jefferson, because, you know, one guy statistically impacted things everywhere on the field. But you talk to players in this league, and there's maybe one player in this league that you know that you have to game plan specifically for every time you play him, and that's Willie Jefferson, because he's such a beast, and he still came away with a pretty good year despite the fact that every team game planned to neutralize him. So that was the one I was really curious to see how it was going to go.
Yeah, and look, Willie had an outstanding year. He was up there in the sack race. He had 16 pass knockdowns, which is unprecedented for a defensive lineman. That's an absurd number. And I remember just the Stamps playing the Blue Bombers, and Bo would try and throw a little screen, just dump it off, and there's Willie's big paws up in the air knocking down every attempt. But you could just tell how demoralizing it is for a quarterback to go, oh, look, screen's developing, second and short, easy first. Oh, big mitt out of the air. We're headed to the sideline and punting, right? So he's disruptive. I thought it was very deserving. The other thing that I wanted to mention was the other three Stampeders who were all honored yesterday with not necessarily the major awards. Rob Maver won the Tom Pate Award, which goes to the player who demonstrates sportsmanship as well as contributions and dedication to not only their team, but the CFLPA and the neighborhood and the community. John Huffnagel, the president and general manager, won the Hugh Campbell Leadership Award. I think we all know what Huff has been about for his time here with the Stampeders, and that one definitely made sense. And then Roscoe, he's the director of video operations for the Stamps. He won the inaugural Jane Mobby Award, which is a new award the league has come up with to honor the people who are behind the scenes that are just important to all of these teams working, but they don't necessarily get the same recognition. And Jane Mobby, who recently passed away and was with the Stampeders for an extremely long time, was a big inspiration for this award, obviously being named after her. Cato, the equipment manager, Ken Kasuya, who was in BC for a very long time, was another kind of guy that they looked to with this award. So it was cool to see a Stampeder win the inaugural Jane Mobby Award after everything that she was able to do for the Stampeder.
So where is the best party that you found so
ooh,
far?
Ooh, and now we're talking.
I haven't done much, right? Like, I've kept it pretty low.
You haven't been down to that? Have you been to the official Grey Cup Festival yet?
You're a reporter, though, and you're collecting information. If someone was going to be going somewhere, where would you tell me?
Stamps House.
This?
I'm saying Stamps House tonight. I think it's going to be a really fun time. Talking to Jordy McLeod and some of the other organizers around this, like, they want to do this right. They want to make sure they put on a show for the rest of the country to see. And I think Stamps House is going to be the place to be. Granted, you know, Spirit Edmonton, always fun. Ryderville, you know what you're getting yourself into.
What was John Bender?
Atlantic House.
Atlantic House. Bender was all about that last night, I saw.
Undefeated. You got to love those Schooners.
Hey, undefeated, 10 years. I didn't make it into Atlantic House last year, but Great Big C played in that hall last year.
How good
so.
Is that?
I'm trying to come up with this rumor that they're here and they're going to do it again, but everyone who has a say in that says, no, we didn't get Great Big C, so we'll have to see how that goes.
Everyone's second favorite team can't be that far away. Like,
right?
Am I wrong here? Like, how could you ever do anything but love the Atlantic Schooners? Until they, defeat you in a big game, every fan's their second favorite team is going to be the Atlantic Scooters.
It's true.
They got a lot of lobster in that hole.
Like, again, another reason to love these guys.
What's not to love?
Who wouldn't want to go to the Maritimes and watch sports?
What's going to happen on Sunday?
I think, what did I say today? 24-21 Hamilton is what I called for our preview show, I believe. I had to double-check those numbers. But, yeah, I'm thinking Hamilton probably wins this one, probably wins a close one. I see Winnipeg maybe the way that I see Winnipeg winning this game is that they have to get Dane Evans to turn over the ball. And granted, that's something that he has done as a starter despite the success, getting the wins and the yardage and whatnot. But he's thrown interceptions as well. And if the Bombers can get some turnovers and put up some points and maybe get an early lead and then just hand the ball over their run game, that could be a recipe for success for that club.
What do you expect crowd-wise in terms of support, noise, and how busy it's going to be?
I don't know. I'm
sort of one of those things you might have to wait and see.
Yeah, like I haven't really had a chance to kind of get out and talk to necessarily a ton of fans. If I'm not mistaken, they're still kind of pushing ticket sales right now. I can tell you that I walked by all 8 or 9 pieces of Keith Urban's stage as I left McMahon today, and that show looks like it's going to be something to see. So if you don't have your ticket, get one. It's going to be fun.
I think I'm the only person I know choosing the Bombers. Most everybody, like Bo and Kluke, and why am I the only one, or why am I choosing the
why
Bombers?
Why are you choosing the Bombers?
I think I love the angle with Zach Collaros.
It's a better story.
It's a much better story.
But I don't know that on paper it's
here's why
that they're going to win, right?
Since Collaros has gotten there, it has stabilized things in such a big way for the Bombers. It has allowed their elite defense to start taking over games again. With Streveler, they weren't able to sustain drives. They weren't able to keep their defense off the field. So it turned it into a much less effective all-around team. Since Caleros has taken over, they've been an effective offense. Maybe not overly explosive, but they've been an effective offense. And that's allowed Willie Jefferson and Adam Big Hill and that elite group
Winston
in the backfield.
Rose,
exactly.
Sales.
They've been allowed to start taking games back over. And it's allowed them to have an offense that teams respect on the other side. Because Andrew Harris is there, because Caleros can move the football, and because all of a sudden, with Caleros throwing again, a guy like Darvin Adams has turned into a threat. He really hasn't been a threat for most of this season. Now So I just feel like with a stabilizing force like that, it turns this into a much more even football game. And with that defense, I love what Hamilton's done this year. I think they're a great team, and of course I can see them winning. I think I have 24-21 Bombers winning in this game. I just think that Winnipeg's got a chance. I'm like, yeah, I'll be the contrarian. I'll go Winnipeg wins this.
The thing for me that's a little bit of a question mark is with Chris Streveler, and what's his usage going to be? Because there was obviously the report that he had a broken foot going into that game here in Calgary in the West semifinal. In that game, he ends up playing 23 snaps, with a lot of them being in the second half. I think he had two or three snaps in the first half.
Well, that's what they were down, what, 14-0 at the half, I want to say?
It was a little bit closer than that.
14-7?
They were down by a score at least. And then in the second half, he came out and he ran the ball down their throats. And I think that a lot of that might have been even gamesmanship because, like I said, there was that story that Streveler had a broken foot. And then in the first half, you see him three times, you'd say, okay, now we just have to worry about Zach Caleros. And then you come out for the third half and you don't see Zach Caleros for the first, you know, two drives. But then again, Streveler only played seven snaps for Winnipeg as they took on the Riders last week. So I also am very intrigued to kind of see how healthy is he, what's his usage going to be, and if he can't play to the same extent that we saw maybe in Calgary in the West semi, what's going to happen with Zach Caleros back there? Because he's going to be under pressure. There are guys on Hamilton that will get to the quarterback despite a very good offensive line in Winnipeg.
So you got a preview show tomorrow at 3 o'clock?
Yes.
And then you and Will noon till 4 on Sunday, right?
Yes, correct. We'll do the previous show 3 to 5 tomorrow before the Hitman Hockey Hour. And then 12 to 4, I'll be there about 12 to 3, and then I'll take off and head to McMahon. We're basically just going to play an absolute ton of audio that we've collected. So really good interview with Travis Lule. We're going to rinse all the one-on-ones from Media Day. We're going to have a little bit of the commissioner's address. He spoke for like 60 minutes, and I'm not going to put you guys through all 60 minutes of that. But
take the highlights, would you?
Yeah, exactly. We'll play the hits. So we're going to have a lot of audio just that we've kind of amassed over the course of this week. And we'll also look ahead to the contest, obviously. We'll get some depth charts tomorrow and kind of change things up. Although I don't think there's going to be any surprises necessarily like we saw with Calgary and their receivers last year. But, that's what I got my ear to the pulse on. I don't know if that's what you say, but
no, it's not. But
okay.
Ear to the ground, finger on the pulse.
If people do want to see your ear to the pulse or your finger to the ground, where would they find you for that lovely Saturday show?
Shanks North.
Sunday they're at
Sunday,
Shanks.
Not tomorrow.
Yes.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Game day. That's a big one.
That's why Matt was like,
he gave me the deer in the headlights. I'm like, what have I done?
Shanks
what
Crowfoot.
Have I done?
Shanks
Sunday show is at Shanks Crowfoot. Big party going down there for sure.
Bye, Matty.
Thanks, boys.
It's Matty Rose.
Do I get a drink ticket now? Or like,
we'll probably find someone we know and might be able to.
Hey, Aaron, can you lend him $8 so he can go, I don't know, $6, however much a drink is here?
Matt just said ear to the pulse. I don't think he needs any more drinks.
That's a fair point by you, Kleiner. That's a fair point. Matty Rose, our Stampeders insider, and this week, our Grey Cup insider.